Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Man there trying to stop Drogba from getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelé on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was! Carlos Alberto!
Maradona just walked away from Huddle then. Maldano, Martin.
Met de balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp.
Oh! Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal feilloos aan. En die schiet de bal erin.
So our next guest is going to be talking about the home that me and Liam both live in Denmark. Yannick, would you like to briefly introduce yourself? What football team do you support and how long have you been following the Danish national team?
Well, since I'm 49 years old, I guess I've followed the Danish national team for 49 years. Because, I mean, if you're a proper Dane, you just do that, right? Do you want to know club teams as well?
Yeah. What club teams do you
All
support?
Right, yeah, the main team is Swansea City. So I'm a little sad to see they didn't win the...
Lost the final last week.
Last week, it was yesterday. Anyway, so the
weekend's on Sunday.
But here in Denmark, my support goes to HB Køge.
Yeah.
The great team, both on the inside and...
Like me and Leon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Boldklubben Volvox in the Copenhagen 7-a-side league.
Yeah, before. Our little 7-a-side team. So I think I probably know the answer to this question, but what has been the highlight for you for watching the Danish national team, other than 1992? Yeah,
there is the 1992 ever. Obviously, which is pretty great. But there are other highlights as well. A classic one is Denmark beating the Soviet Union 4-2 in the old Idrætsparken, the old ground, on the Danish National Day, 5th of June. I forget exactly when.
What year?
It's sometime in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed to say I don't remember exactly when. 80, maybe.
Potentially brought about the fall of communism.
that was it. That was the one. Yeah, so it's actually they all hail Gorbachev and
the nail in the coffin
and those guys, but it was really Preben Elke and Michael Laudrup who tore down the wall. Yeah, no, but there's that one, but also recently they've had a couple of good ones. There was one where we were playing in Portugal. I forget again the year, and we were trailing. And then in the last, I think, 9 minutes or something, somehow we managed to score 3 goals.
Oh, yes, the 3-3. Yeah, that was like a qualifying game.
Yeah, that was pretty good. 2018, and we did a similar thing against Switzerland as well. I think that was only for a draw, but still it was 3 goals in no time. So those ones are some of the ones that spring to mind.
And I never forget the 4 year Ireland Denmark grudge match, where we seem to be draw each other in every single qualifying group.
For Danish people, it's not so much a grudge match. I think that's mainly for the Irish.
Speaking about grudge matches, do you have anything, any words of consolation for Alex's bleeding football heart after the qualifiers for the Euro?
I mean,
you'll bounce back, I'm sure.
Solid words of comfort. But are you looking forward to the game against Finland? Because that feels like that would be quite an exciting game to have here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Finland's football merits haven't really been much to brag about for a very long time. But this definitely changed this time around, didn't it? And they were even a bit close last time. And they have players playing in good leagues around Europe, so it's definitely a nation we don't take for granted anymore. We used to basically know that we will win when we play Finland, but it's not like that anymore. It's a bit like the opposite when it comes to ice hockey. We used to be the ones the Finns always beat. Now they know they have to concentrate to beat us. We just went out of the World Cup today in ice hockey, so I won't be too braggadocious, but it would probably be a bigger thing if we met Sweden or Germany, but it's always when we meet some of the fellow Nordic countries, it's always fun. And I think most Danes, apart from Denmark, they kind of root for Finland a bit, you know. Once they play we'd like them to win some games and have a great World Cup or Euros, have some good days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does Alex.
Yeah.
Right?
Finland is my team, I've decided. Yeah. Finland and North Macedonia are the two teams. And Hungary. I just, all the underdogs.
Yeah. As always. Nothing new there. But to bring it back to Denmark, I scrolled to the wiki page to read up a bit on it. And I had no idea that their nickname was Danish Dynamite. Can you explain?
That goes back decades. I don't remember when that started. Maybe that was, it's back into the 80s. So I don't remember if it was already at the 82 Euros, but definitely there must have been the Mexico World Cup 86. I think it's from around that time. And I think it might have been one of the songs that I can't remember when that started, but at some point it started.
Oh, like a World Cup song.
A World Cup song, like... yes, exactly. And there was one where they were singing, "We are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite." Danish poetry, you know, you can't be...
How very witty.
So so I think that's where the Danish dynamite comes from. Maybe beer called that.
Sounds like a bank.
Small breweries down south.
Danish Dynamite. Was it any good?
Marbeck Boykus or something like that. That was horrible. One of these sort of, 8% lager ones that it was just strong. That was the only thing. It wasn't... No. It wasn't.
It gets the job done.
It was just strong.
Mm. But what is the... Because obviously you read the Danish newspapers and stuff, who are more up to date on stuff than we are, but what is the kind of feeling going into this tournament? Because I mean, Denmark is like 10th ranked in the world and like quite a strong team.
Yeah,
relatively than before.
Well, I mean, we also will be playing some strong teams as well, so I don't know. I think it's it varies a lot also who you speak to, and you will always get some blind optimists, which I would love to be one of them, but I'm not really. and then there are some pessimists as well, right? And we tend to usually do relatively good at the especially in the group stage. over the years, mostly done pretty well. So, but I think maybe sort of cautious optimists. I think I think most Danes are cautious optimists because
so philosophical.
Yeah. I couldn't. If I had finished this beer, I couldn't have pronounced it. But I think that most people think that that we have a definite chance against all three teams in the group, but I still acknowledge that that it's not a walkover in any sense. I think.
Where are you going to watch the matches?
Do you have tickets, actually?
See, that's the thing. The thing is, I'm currently, like, tomorrow morning, I'll have another meeting whether or not I go to Greenland for work. So if I go to Greenland during the Euros, then I won't. But if I stay home because of the corona situation, then I'll watch every minute I can watch.
If you are in Greenland, are you able to watch the games at all? No.
No, we talked about this before, but fill everyone in. How does it work with the mailing system?
It's a small research station in Northeast Greenland, and our only sort of contact to the world, other than the planes we get in every week or every second week, sometimes even every third week, is by satellite phone. Also, the email also goes via the satellite phone, which means you can't even really send a picture. It has to be a really, really small picture, a really small attached file. Otherwise, it just stalls completely, which makes watching anything completely out of the picture. It just doesn't work. Not with the system we have. Anything bigger than that would cost a lot of money and a lot of... getting the stuff up there would be really expensive because it's... it's out of road less traveled. So,
But you said before that you kept up to date by your dad writing very
my uncle.
Eloquent match reports.
Yeah, my uncle's a big football fan and he watches all the matches. So he's often sent me emails where he writes sometimes very thorough match reports from all the matches. So that's really good. And it's even, there was a guy who stopped following football who started going back to it because he read these football reports and just, you could feel my uncle's excitement. And also, if a team had too many people who were diving too much, you know, old school kind of guy, he doesn't like that thing. So then he would tell. I remember Uruguay, he wasn't too happy with them. too many divers.
Fair enough. So, okay, what is your prediction for Denmark at this tournament? Are we going quarterfinals?
Yeah, I'm
semis.
What does the cautious optimist say?
If we reach more than the group stage, I'd be very happy. Anything other than that, I'd be ecstatic, I would say. But I think, I mean, the team is really good. We have a really good team, but I'm not sure they are good enough to go much further than quarterfinals. But we'll see. And it could also be that they do really good effort in all three games and still don't make it through because it is it will be a tight group. And any team that might lose a point to Finland, for instance, they won't go through, I think.
It's exciting how like Denmark's first game is against Finland, so like really will set the tone.
So we'll see. I don't. They played a friendly against Sweden. Was it yesterday? And I saw they were trailing 1-0 at one point, but I don't know what the score ended up. But I don't think we should take Finland front. I mean, it's their first Euro, so that alone would mean that they'll go in and you know they'll just. Really be up for it, and they've got this Finnish, it's called Sisu, I think, this sort of inner strength that comes out of them when they really push it, you know. So.
Yeah, but the Danes have the Viking strength, I don't know, or has it all been lost?
No, lots of Viking stuff in us. At least we claim so. I would think that the current Viking is more like a hipster guy serving
Yeah, Hugo chilling out.
true. But at least the ones that look like Vikings, they're more like hipster guys serving gins and cocktails and craft beer. But we still have some tough bastards around, so.
That's such a neat, all you need. All right, my final question is, we've been asking everyone if you could go for a beer or a coffee with, in your case, a Danish player, past or present, who would it be?
Well, I don't drink coffee, so that's takes out some of them, I guess. Past or present, yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of one, there's a lot that I think would be great to hang out with. But I think Jan Mølby, the old Liverpool guy, I'm sure that would be a good laugh. He's what do you call that? You know, he says he speaks his mind.
Straight talker, straight shooter.
Yeah, straight talker and a straight shooter, and he's also got a great sense of humor. And don't forget, he used to be a manager in Swansea City.
Ah, you could talk about the Swans.
But no,
So we come full cycle.
He's the first one that sprung to mind, but I'm sure there'd be many others. You know, Preben Elke is always good laugh. And, yeah.
You wouldn't say no to
the Laudrup right now that I didn't want to have a drink with.
Nick, what about, I'm now picturing you, Yannick, going for a beer with Nicholas Bentner, and it's a very funny picture.
How so?
Yeah, I wouldn't say no. I'm sure that the guys lived an interesting, hectic life, right? So,
yeah.
Just give me a call.
Yeah, you'll tell him some of your Greenland adventures.
Exactly.
Yeah, first pints on me.
All right, Yannick, thank you so much for joining us at short notice as well.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Let's hope for some good mails
sent
to Greenland soon.
Thanks, guys.
To begin with, would you like to introduce yourself, like maybe where in Finland you're from, or maybe if you support like a club football team, that kind of thing?
All right. So, yeah, I'm Laura, to start with, from Finland. I'm from a city called Oulu, which is slightly up north, sort of there where Finland and Sweden like cross borders or start touching borders. So that's where I'm from. And the local team just managed to get into the what is it called, the highest league?
Oh, the top league in Finland. Yes. Is there a big party? Is it like a little town club team or what?
Yeah, it is. It's like this local team feeling they have to it. But they haven't been doing that well this season. But I hope they'll manage to stay in the league and not fall back to the first one. Mm-hmm.
What is the club's name? Has it got a very strong Finnish name?
No, sadly not. It's just AC Oulu. So
AC Oulu. Okay.
Oh, yeah. How disappointing.
Yeah. But I was super excited to talk to somebody from Finland because this is the first time Finland has qualified for a football tournament, a major tournament.
Not counting the Olympics.
Not counting the Olympics. Like I said in my notes, no one counts the Olympics. But
yeah.
So like, what has it been like in Finland? Has it just been like a big party since then?
Well, I mean, if you watch the last game, the game that actually made sure that we qualified, it was crazy. It was, we played against Liechtenstein, so a country we should win, right? But I mean, we've had so many bad experiences with like qualifying to EM. So it's just, everyone had this sort of feeling to the team that, yeah, sure, we're going to get there and we're going to win this and it's going to be all right. But you're still a little bit scared, a little bit worried if we're actually going to make it eventually.
Yeah.
But so, like, when we won the game, like, 3-0, 3-0, I think. And then it just, people stormed to the field celebrating because it was just that big. Football has always been sort of a bit overshadowed by ice hockey in Finland, mm-hmm. and it still is, but it's sort of up and coming, so it's really cool to see.
And were you in Finland for that, or were you in Copenhagen?
I was in Copenhagen, sadly. Oh, okay. Would love to have been there.
So did you sell? Did you watch the game with some fellow Finns, or what?
Yeah, we had like this homemade studio of like watching the game and trying to like root for the team. Mm-hmm. So with my few of my fellow Finns in here in Copenhagen, so okay, not anything big, sadly.
because apparently like celebrations in Finland are crazy, right? I saw this video
of the
celebrations after the match, but also when they won the hockey championship, and then people got naked and jumped into pools in Helsinki and everything.
but that's hockey, you know. That's
okay.
That's
so it's
next level.
Okay.
We got fined by UEFA after the match because people just stomped the field with the players celebrating. So yeah. people were happy. People were like been waiting for this for so long. And somehow we always managed to stumble again, like smaller countries when we're going through this qualifications round. So it's just frustrating, but now we're there. So we're happy.
And how optimistic is everyone now looking at the group? I mean, against Denmark, Russia and Belgium, it seems like a group that is doable somehow, but also challenging, of course.
I'd say it's a bit tough. Of a group. And honestly, I'm just thrilled that we're in the competition, and I feel like most people feel that way. And we just today had like a last final practice match against Estonia.
Okay.
A country we should always win, and we lost 1-0. So it's not a good start.
Not the best warm up.
But I mean, I have faith in the team. We have some quality players there. So I'm just hoping we won't be like losing every game in big numbers. I'm hoping we like manage, and I'm pretty confident that we will. Like, I'm optimistic about our chances.
And what about the game in Denmark? How excited are you for that
here? I am so excited, and I have tickets, so I'm gonna be there.
Oh,
that's big. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
I don't even know. Like, when they opened the ticket sales, I was just like, I need to get those tickets. I am going. I mean, I've lived here for 5 years, so I'm also sort of rooting for Denmark. But in that game, it's going to be Finland.
Do you have some Danish friends who will come there, go there as well?
Yeah, well, I'm taking my Danish boyfriend, so that's going to be fun.
Wow.
Okay.
Luckily, he's not as into football as I am, so I think we'll manage to avoid a fight.
You must be quite optimistic then if you're willing to, if you know this is the opportunity for Finland to beat Denmark at a European championship.
I'm not, like, I'm hopeful, but am I, like, really expecting that? Mm-hmm. Not really, but I mean, I always had the chance to root Denmark, so it's sort of an easy game to go in and watch.
For people who aren't Finnish, like obviously they kind of know Teemu Pukki and stuff like that, but who do you know, what other players should people kind of watch out for that might actually be important for Finland?
Well, our goalie for sure, one, Radetzky. He plays in Germany, right? And he's very, very good. And he's like the one who has sort of saved us in a lot of games. So look out for him. And then we have a couple of youngsters with Horst. He's playing, lives in England as well. And then there's Valakari. They're sort of up and coming youngsters that made it to the troop in the very last minute almost. So look out for them there. I'm expecting a lot from those guys.
And is the country just sort of like holding its breath and in constant prayer for Teemu Pukki's ankle, or what's the situation with?
I mean, it's been a main headline for a while. Just people speculating if he'll be all right. But I mean, he played a little today in the practice match, so I'm sure he'll play.
I did want to ask you about another player, because there's a player in the Finnish squad with probably, I'm Irish, by the way, and with probably the most Irish name I have ever, like Daniel O'Shaughnessy. Do people like realize how Irish his name is? It's like
not a very Finnish last
name. No.
But yeah, he's there. But he only plays in the Finnish league, and
okay.
He's a decent player, I think, but not the one that's keeping the team together.
What do you see as like the realistic success for Finland in this tournament? Do you think they might be able to get out of the group, or what is the kind of goal there?
I'm hopeful that they might be able to get forward from the group, but it's going to be tough. And like I said, I really have no expectations in terms of, like, I wouldn't be disappointed if we don't get forward from the group. I'd like to see that happen, but I mean, I'm aware that it's an uphill battle. There's some good teams in the group with us, so.
Yeah, I think if there's three teams getting through, then if Finland could get through, they have to beat Russia, right? That's kind of the game. That's like the most winnable for them. I have one final question that we've been asking all of our guests, and it's if they could go for a beer with a player, past or present, from Finland, in your case, who would it be and why?
Oh, past or present? Oh no, I had my answer thought out, but
you could do both, either way.
All right, okay. I'm gonna say our goalie, so Lukas Radetzky. He is. I mean, it's just in every single post-game interview, pre-game interview, he just seems like a great guy. Okay. Haven't met him personally. So,
when you just get the vibe that it would be a good night.
He's got the vibe of a fun, great guy. And he is always up for a beer, he said to himself. So then he's the guy.
Okay. Well, I hope Finland have a really good tournament, and I hope you really enjoy the Denmark game. And also that you're, even if Finland win or Denmark win, you're it's not going to cause too much of a fight with your boyfriend.
All right. Thank you for a super fun concert.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining. It's been a pleasure, and
of course, and good luck with the rest.
have a good evening.
You thank guys, you. Bye.
Bye. To start things, maybe you can introduce like where you're from in Russia, maybe what club team you support, that kind of thing.
Yep, I was born in Moscow, so the capital of Russia, and lived there for 30 years before I moved here to Denmark, to Copenhagen, for work. And I support Spartak Moscow, and also I used to study in UK, so I also support a lot Manchester United, which is not really a Russian club, but anyway.
How do you choose? Because I mean, I know there's so many clubs in Moscow. How do you choose which one to support?
Usually it's because of some relatives or some, some generation. Actually, my relatives don't support Spartak. They support some other clubs. But when I was in school, it was 90s, right, and end of 20th century, and Spartak was really dominating back then in the Russian league. They had extremely good generation of players, so somehow a lot of people that were kids back then started to support Spartak Moscow, and then I was one of them.
Okay. Did you used to go to games in Moscow? I mean, what was the atmosphere?
Not so often. I have to say I were on more Manchester United games than on Spartak Moscow games.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Do you go often? Have you been often to the UK?
Recently, but in the past, you know, I studied for a couple of years there, did my exec MBA there, and then... before I was, I tried to go a couple of times to watch United games, a couple of times a year. And then also, of course, if United, if they were playing in Moscow, then of course I also went to all the games. I was also on the final of the Champions League in 2008, you know, when they won against Chelsea. Wow, okay. So that was my favorite game overall from which I visited.
That does sound fantastic. Have you ever watched the national team, the Russian national team play?
I did in
life.
Moscow. I did in Moscow. Truth be told, not in the recent couple of years, but I did before.
Yeah, so not during the World Cup.
Not, unfortunately, not. It was really difficult to get tickets for Russian national team for the World Cup. So no, I was not lucky with the lottery.
Yeah. Where did you watch the World Cup in 2018? Because it was such an amazing story for the Russian national team going.
Yeah, I actually was in Denmark watching it together. There was different bars where we went together with other Russian expats in Copenhagen, and then we watched those games in different bars, and it was good energy. It was fun, of course. many people that normally don't watch football, they went to watch, especially when Russia qualified from the group. Then, you know, then of course it got attention also from the people that normally don't watch football. So there was quite crowded in those bars, and many people that in general have no idea about football, they still came to just see the games.
Yeah. Did you have a highlight from that World Cup? Because it was such a like a game that you enjoyed the most, or what was it?
I mean, of course, the highlight was the game against Spain, because it's not every year when Russia beat Spain in place of World Cup, right? So there was a highlight. I would say the game against Croatia was also a highlight. Of course, they lost, but then it was also penalties, and it's always a lottery. So, but I was actually with some friends in one of these bars with a lot of, you know, Russians, but my friends are not Russians. They are from various countries in Europe. And at some point, and when we went there, they told me they like football also a lot. And they told me, look, Russia probably wouldn't have much chances. So I said, yes, but let's just see. But then at some point they say, okay, now it seems the game is quite equal and maybe Russia would make it for the final, but then of course that was not the case.
No. But overall, it was a hugely successful campaign for the team doing the championship. Do you think that there's some long-lasting effects within the Russian population when it comes to football now? Has it changed kind of the way that people watch football and also the enthusiasm that they carry onto the pitch as fans and everything?
Definitely, it changed a little bit the overall perception of the national team, because you know, there were a few years without big successes. There was a success back in 2008 when, was it 2008? With the Euro, yes, it was 2008 with Euro.
Yeah, when, with the Arshavin team and that incredible story.
Exactly. That generation that went to semi-final of European Cup, right? But after that, there were some big losses, and there were some, you know, stories where mass medias made some news after they lost, like didn't manage to qualify for the following World Cup. And then there were news that the night before they were the players were in the bar, so they were drinking and smoking, and of course, you know, national, there were a lot of negative things towards national team. So it was kind of trendy not to support national team anymore, because people were like, if they you know, don't care, then why should we care and support them? And and that was until actually the World Cup 18, where somehow the overall perception of the national team changed, and people saw that that players fight for the national team, and I think now perception is better. Of course, I would say people still don't believe in the team so much, but this is because there are no bright, or not many bright players in this team, right? It's not like generation with Arshavin, because there we had a couple of players. Like with Arshavin, we have Kovluchenko, who used to play for Tottenham, and you know, few others that were relatively good, right? Smertin, etc. But now, I would say, well, there are almost no stars. The biggest star is probably, or there are a couple of them, maybe one who plays for Monaco. His name is Golovin. He's a midfielder and he's playmaker, and the national team depends a lot on him. So he's probably, from the pure football perspective, is the main star. But then there is more like you know, the star who is on all mass medias and various scandals, etc. Dzyuba.
The character, right? Yeah. The huge striker.
Yes, but funny enough, I mean, you know, nobody really likes him, nor players, nor supporters of the club he's playing right now for, nor the kind of, he's really, I mean, some small kids maybe, you know, he was part of so many scandals that, and then he...
What kind of scandal? Why do people not like him?
Starting from, you know, he changed, in Russia, there is a big competition between Spartak and Zenit St. Petersburg. It's a little bit like Real and Barcelona, right? Two big cities, yeah. And then a big competition. And then he moved from one club to another. His contract was expiring and he got offered a new contract in Spartak, but then he moved to another one. Of course, this is part of the hate, but the scandals he was part of, back to the times he was in Spartak Moscow, he was accused from stealing money. He was a very young player back then. I don't know how, 18 or 19 years old, just came from the second team. And he was in the dressing room and he was accused of stealing money from a star, star player. Because he's back then, he didn't have good contract. He was very young. Yeah. It's unclear if he did it or not, but other players accused him in stealing money. So
money from his teammates.
Exactly.
like cash out of the pocket.
Like cash, because in Russia still cash is still widely used, right? So
yeah.
He was stealing like €500 or €1,000, right? Not really money. But for him back then, because he was, basically from the Yacht team, for him it was some money, right? And then now he's saying that it was not the case because he said that they went to see the recordings and it's proof. But somehow everybody still believes he did that back then, right? And the recent scandal has really the sexual context. I'm not sure if you've heard about that, but there was some videos basically published, which he recorded for somebody. And those videos got to the internet, and he's the captain of the national team, right? So of course that's not, and there was
not the kind of representation you want.
No, and there was a huge discussion about that, and some people say like, look, he didn't do anything that we don't do, right? It's kind of. People do that because basically he was masturbating on this video and sending it to some girl, right? And then and people say kind of everybody does that, and yes, he was stupid to record that, but it's kind of natural. But some other people say, look, he knows he's a captain of the national team. He's a star. He should be smart enough not to send it, not to send it to somebody on WhatsApp or whatever he used to do that. So there was a lot, all the discussions in media, etc. And he was actually dropped from the national team for few games because the manager said, the coach, he said that he needs to focus now to, he would be defocused on all these scandals, so he needs to focus on that. But then after a couple of games, he got back to the national team. He also finished the championship playing for his club Zenit quite well. He scored in last game, I think he scored 4 or 5 goals. And therefore, somehow he is probably one of two best forwards in the country. So, and he was the captain. So he's in the team, but he's a very controversial person, not really liked by most of the supporters.
Sounds incredibly interesting. But like with him on the team, how far do you think Russia can make it in this tournament?
I would say if Russia would get qualified from the group, it would be extremely good success, because realistically probably Russia can win against Finland, or at least have chances against Finland, right?
Yeah.
Obviously Belgium is a favorite in the group. I think Belgium is a favorite. Of course now De Bruyne is not clear if he would be fit or not to play, but still Belgium is probably one of the favorites of the whole tournament, right? Yeah. And then I think Denmark is stronger, definitely have better players, and then those players tend to play better when they are together in the national team. So I think Denmark is a favorite. So, if Russia would qualify, it would be perceived as success, even if it would be knocked out right after. But I think most of the people expect that, maybe it would be fight for the second place, but wouldn't be surprised if Russia would end up third in the group. And then if it would be fourth, then it would be probably perceived as a failure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How much are you looking forward to the game against Denmark? Do you have high hopes for that?
Yeah, and where are you going to watch it?
It would be fun. Now I'm actually, a couple of my Danish friends suggested to watch together in Denmark that day. Then we watch together because it would be fun, because we obviously would support different teams. But then if maybe I'll be in Russia, because I plan to take holidays on from 18th. So maybe I'll go for holidays to visit my parents, and then I'll watch it with my friends in Moscow.
Sounds good. Sounds like a good time. I have one final question that we've been asking all of our guests, and it's if you could go for a drink with a player, either past or present, from the national team, who would it be?
Interesting question. Well, I probably would pick a player who is from the past, and he is unfortunately not alive, passed away a few years ago. His name is Fyodor Chirenkov, who was a legendary player. He actually played for Spartak Moscow, also for the Russian national team, and he was quite famous in the 80s. I didn't really watch him because I was too small, or you know, I was not born when he started and too small. But then afterwards, he was always like a legend in Russia. He was also famous, but by being very shy, and you know.
I read there was a BBC Sport article about him, like it was like the unsung sort of like quiet, introvert,
exactly,
genius footballer who just like, and he didn't want to go to like the big club. He was like happy just
to play his stuff. I think he has some psychological issues, and you know, because also he's a little bit like Hazard. Every second year was good and every second year was really bad. And they were saying this is because of some psychological issues he had. But he was quite interesting person with you know, being shy, being probably the biggest star, football star in Russia for 10, 15 years, and being super shy and sincerely saying that I don't know why people like me, and I don't know, like I'm not doing anything special, I just play football. And he was not playing this, he was really you know, living with those confidence that look, I just play football, there are other, let's say, people's lives, like take interviews from them, like I just, you know, kick the ball.
And people were just like in awe at like his technical ability, mm-hmm. and just like the way he was like be able to create art.
I found
the BBC Sport article. Yeah, I'll link it to Fyodor Chirenkov. He's like, he looks very kind of, even from pictures, like very kind of
a
quiet, reserved person. Yeah, brilliant choice, Yuri. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to Russia in the tournament. And hopefully, you never know, if Russia wins it, we'll get you back on. No pressure.
Yeah, let's see how it will go. I prefer not to have too high expectations, not to be disappointed afterwards.
Yeah, no, we get that. But yeah, thank you so much. That was so very interesting. And have a lovely evening.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a fantastic evening. Bye. All right.
Do you want to just briefly introduce yourself? Maybe where in Belgium you're from or whatever?
Yeah. So I live in Denmark now, but I am from Belgium, from Antwerp, or a little town north from Antwerp. Mm-hmm. I've been living there till I was 26, I think. And then I moved up north because my husband is Danish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Cool. And do you have a personal highlight of following the Belgium national team? Obviously, the national team is sort of improved so much in recent years from where they were before.
So I when I was living in Belgium, I just adored going to the football matches, because everywhere there were like big screens in bars and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. the community, all of a sudden Belgium in some way has always been like the Flemish part and the French speaking part, and they've always been like some kind of issue between the two groups. But when there was competition, when there was football going on, all of a sudden you saw like these flags everywhere, and everyone was friends with everyone. And it was just a huge sense of community that came up. And that was just wonderful. It was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Is there a specific game maybe that you remember being like, wow, this is like really good atmosphere of people coming together and stuff?
I went to Belgium when Belgium was playing against Japan, It was actually not the European, but the World Cup.
Yeah.
And they actually made, was it two goals, but very, very, very close.
Yeah,
to
it came
end.
Back from 2-0 down and to win 3-2 yes. at the end.
And I remember, it was everybody, like, we lost hope because we really thought that, and, you know, now it's, and especially against Japan, like, any team. And then we we won that game. And I remember it was so ecstatic and it was wonderful.
Yeah. You said you had a Danish husband. Yeah. How are you going to deal with the game against is he sleeping outside?
It depends how it goes, right? I guess.
Belgium is playing against Denmark on the 17th, and I made an appointment with my sister-in-law, and we're going to watch it together. Mm-hmm. And then she said to me, "Now, you know, you need to wear the Danish colors." And I was like, "No, because I don't want to be on a loser's team."
Yeah,
I've been telling my whole. I always have been telling my in-laws, like, no, Denmark already lost twice in the last year, like was it preliminaries or
the qualifiers? Yeah,
another.
The qualifying,
I don't remember which one, but I remember Belgium played twice against Denmark. Yeah, yes, and Belgium won twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm,
so you've got to be
I'm
confident.
Just my in-laws and my husband, you know. Yeah, you know,
how confident are you that they'll make it all the way to the top now, winning the trophy? Because this has been building for quite a while, right? Belgium has been such a good team for such a long time now. And I've read up that they're at the top of the FIFA ranking right now. And they're actually the first team who's on top there without having ever won a title. So I feel like this is it now, right?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that when I saw that Kevin De Bruyne got injured... I think it was last weekend. I was like, oh, no,
nope.
Because he's actually a key player in our team,
most important player.
I, you know, crossing fingers. I have to admit, I'm not looking forward on seeing Belgium play against France because last game I was so angry. Annoyed. It wasn't fair play for the French players, are not very fair play, which annoys me personally.
Yeah.
When you watch, are you a shouter and a screamer, or more of a quiet
I'm not a shouter and screamer. I think my husband no. My neighbors.
He knows.
My husband,
okay, he knows what he's got.
Too,
he's got his
but
soul.
But my neighbors, they know. He does.
We have a question that we've been asking everyone, and it's if you could go for a beer and a coffee with a player from your country, who would you choose?
I actually would do two players. It would be a combination of Dries Mertens and Eden Hazard. Because they're just like that duo, and I've saw a lot of interviews with them, and they're just really funny people. They're very down to earth and funny people. So that's what I like about them, that they stay down to earth despite their success and their camaraderie they have. It's really fun to watch. It's really fun to see. So it would definitely be one of them. Or both.
Yeah, no, fantastic pick. That'd be good. Also, the first one who asked for two beers or two coffees, whatever. That's good.
Of course.
Yeah, for two beers. Only would be versus awesome. Beer. That is true. Yeah. That is true. Thanks so much, Kami. I wish Belgium good luck
fingers
on
crossed.
The 17th. Hopefully. You're able to, you know, defend yourself from the in-laws.
Of course. And I'll be listening to the podcast.
Okay,
and,
fantastic.
You want to just briefly introduce maybe where in Belgium you're from, maybe what club football team you support and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I'm from the Dutch part in Belgium, from Waregem, which is quite close to France. And I'm also supporting the local team, which is Zulte Waregem. Some people might know they had some European campaigns a few years back. So yeah, I used to work for them too as scout. So I'm obviously very biased there. But yeah, it's very exciting to be a football enthusiast now and looking forward to the Euros.
That's so interesting. I have to ask, how did you end up as a scout there?
I used to play myself.
Yeah.
And then one of the more common stories, I guess, I screwed up my knee. I tore my ACL, and then during surgery, stuff went wrong. So I had to find another way to get to experience my passion, let's say. So at quite a young age, I was 18, I took some training courses, got my degrees, and then I still had school, so I couldn't really get a nice coaching position, let's say. And then scouting was something that's only on the weekends and was just a perfect fit for me. So I just wrote my local team asking, like, or explaining my situation, and I explained to my view on the big word talent and how I think about stuff and just what my opinion is on many things. And then they were like, okay, let's just try it. And yeah, I've been doing it for 6 years now, so I still love it.
And then looking through your very trained eyes, who do you think will be the person to watch out for in the Belgian team in the coming Euros?
Well, obviously, you have the ones that everyone knows. And I don't think that Lukaku would be a very big surprise if I said his name. But I think if you would want a less known player, I would look out for Doku. Jeremy Doku, who's a left winger. He's super, super quick. He's the, let's call it, next big thing. If Eden Hazard wouldn't be fit, I think he will make a good impression. Mm-hmm.
What has it been like in to follow Belgian football in the last few years with this sort of takeoff and like the fortunes of the team? Like, what is the kind of, are people kind of expectations now equal with the kind of reality of what they've got, or what's it been like?
It's a very double situation. I think if you look at the national competition, then we're still quite low compared to other bigger countries. Our normal national teams don't really do that well, but then if you have the international team, they are completely they're all stars basically, and wherever you go, since I think for the last 5 years, whenever you tell someone you're from Belgium, they're like, oh, Eden Hazard or Lukaku. Yeah. And that's been so different. No one ever knew us, and because of football now, suddenly people know the country, and they're enormous expectations because everyone talked about it all the time, and now finally they have to deliver. That's the kind of fight that is going.
Obviously, but that was my question, because this has been going on for quite a while now, right? Like a couple of years ago, they were kind of the underdogs a bit, but with very up and coming players. But I feel like at this point there have been a couple of tournaments where they have been in this very position. And is there kind of this atmosphere in Belgium that now at one point they do have to deliver? Yeah.
Yeah. Many people even keep asking the question, would it be our last chance? Because many players that are getting quite, let's call it, aged, and then mainly in the defense. So it's definitely a now or never situation. At least that's what people think. Because next year there's another shot. Since we have the experience now, because that's always been like the reason why we didn't get that far, we didn't have the experience, but now we should have the experience. Let's hope that the experienced players now will
What is your view on Roberto Martinez? Do you think he is the right man to be able to take Belgium to the next level, because he's slightly kind of mixed record in England?
I think he's the right man because he's used to working with bigger players, stars, basically, where our other coaches that used to coach the national team, they didn't really. And the players were more famous than the coach, which is always a bit weird understanding, I think. And now with Martinez, who gets a lot of respect from the entire country, it's an amazing job he's been doing for a while now. And he has Thierry Henry next to him again. So that's quite a power duo, let's say, to have as a coaching staff.
Mm-hmm. And I think the draw has been like relatively kind to Belgium, right? So I feel like if they want to sort of ease their way in and get a bit of momentum, it's not, there's tougher groups in there.
I've been talking obviously to many Danish people, and
maybe that was unkind to Denmark, but
every Dane thinks that they will beat us, and
what?
It's true. Like, you have to win. And the amount of conversations I've had where they're like, "Yeah, our goalkeeper is better than yours," and I'm like, I'm glad you think so, but I really doubt that. But they're very confident, and they were like, "Yeah, if you don't win the first game against Russia, and then you draw against us, then it might get tricky."
That's a lot of ifs.
A lot of ifs. That's
true.
I feel like maybe.
But also, have you invited them to watch the match with you? Because, like, being in your position, I think you can feel kind of confident, right?
I think, it's actually the third game in a year now that we will play against them. So every game we had, I invited them, or I went over to their place wearing my shirt, all confident, actually. and there was always a reason why they didn't win, and there was always an explanation of why we were only a bit.
How did the last two games go? Did Belgium win both, or what was?
The last game was actually 4-2, where it was a complete power play. I think in the first 20 minutes we scored two goals, and then we had one of our defenders made a mistake. I think it was Puyata, but I'm not sure. And then they got back in the game, and it was exciting a bit. But I think in my view, they were Belgian players were just controlling the game, and with a defensive Danish team, there's not much they could do.
Obviously, people are very familiar with like most of the Belgian players, but if you were to pick a player that might be sort of slightly under the radar for fans of other countries who might have a big tournament, who would you pick out?
I would have said Youri Tielemans, but then again, he's also a Premier League star, basically. But he stays a bit under the radar compared to De Bruyne, Lukaku, Hazard. But I think he will have a big share in whatever we perform, I think. So that's also a player that I would put a spotlight on, or who at least deserves it and not always gets it.
Mm-hmm. How far do you think Belgium can go? And do you think this is a tournament that is made for them to, you know, go further in the semis, or how high are your sort of expectations?
Because I also read the fun fact that Belgium is so far the only national team that is leading the FIFA rankings without actually having won a big international cup. So it seems like the time is ripe.
Last week I kind of made my own simulation. Like, I think we'll end in this position and then see what comes out of it. And in my simulation, we had the semi-final against France, which is a traumatic experience from our perspective. And if you would ask me, their team is just almost too good to compete with. My proud feeling would say we can get to the final, then everything is possible. But I'm really afraid of France, and that's France and England basically are the two teams where I'll be like, now it's gonna be very tricky, and we'll have to be we will have to use our experience in some way, because otherwise.
Yeah, I think when you get that far in the tournament, it's always so tight that like just it's, you know, the smallest thing can like throw the game either way.
Yeah, so it's I aim for finalists, but I would be fair expectations, semi-finals.
Okay.
Disappointment.
Yeah, the heart says final, the intellect says semi-final.
All right, we have one final question that we've been asking all our guests, and it's if they could go for a beer or a coffee with a player past or present from their country, who would they pick?
I think I would pick De Bruyne, because he's just so cool, and the fame doesn't do him anything. Like, he's just like, if you see him in the Champions League finals, he just cries when he has to leave a pitch. he has played that many important games. They could still win in that moment, but he has to leave the pitch, so he cries. And that's like the purest love for football I've seen in a long time. So I would want to know how, because I kind of know his story, how he was as a kid and how he sacrificed everything. He left his parents when he was 12 or something to live with another family for football. And ever since he did everything. So I would want to know like how that was to just sacrifice everything. But then, well, I think he benefits from it.
For sure. It worked out for him. All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for joining us. Really interesting.
No worries. And,
good luck for Belgium in the tournament.
Sports Social Podcast Network.